Okay. Just before I begin, I want to ask briefly, for those of you who are using Wi-Fi, are you connected to the Wi-Fi of the church? I'm having trouble with my devices right now. Both my iPad pod are both not able to join, so I'll be preaching from the bulletin. And I'll be using my cross references from a different version. But join me in the book of Luke, chapter 13. And I have a long passage today, verse 22 through 30. However, the message will be short. Short as it may be, I hope that it will not lack in depth and will also allow us to be fed and to be strengthened in the Lord. So, I'll begin at verse 22 of chapter 13, and I would like you to join with me at verse 26. I will read from verse 22. Please join me from verse 26. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" And he said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside, knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.'" Let's read together. "Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last." Hallelujah. The very words of Jesus. Amen. So this is called the narrow door. This is not the only place we find this. We find this also in Matthew chapter 7. I've been a pastor here since 2004. Before that, I was preaching about once a month. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so glad those messages were not recorded. Let me be very frank with you. I'm glad there's only a few of us here because I can be very honest. But one of my major weaknesses is I'm a people pleaser, and meaning that I have a deep desire to be liked. And that is what motivates me and what causes me to do what I do and say what I say. So if saying something will cause me to be disliked or disapproved, that scares me. And so what the Bible calls that is I have a fear of man instead of a fear of God. And so as a pastor, that is not good because that means I will only preach and only teach things that make you happy or make you feel good or make the listener feel approved, because this is what we do as Christians. We come to church to hear what we already know and to be affirmed in what we already believe, to be told we're fine. We come to church to be reassured that our religion and our faith, our doctrine, is the right one, and their religion and their church or their beliefs are the wrong one. And we are afraid to ask ourselves the hard questions. And so what the preacher does is he comes up and he avoids the hard questions. He glosses over the texts or the scriptures or the words of Jesus that are little bit narrow, little bit difficult to teach, things that will not appeal to many people. We have to keep the church full. We have to keep more people coming. And I have to repent of that mindset. I have to repent of that weakness and cowardice, because I've been called to preach and to be faithful to the Bible, to the word of Jesus Christ. And so James tells me, if you can't do that, you better not be up here. He says, you're going to be judged even more strictly. So the Lord has truly been grinding and pounding me over these last years to just put some steel in my spine and to really strengthen me. And we come to a passage today that is not popular and has really challenged me. And so what is my goal today? It's just to strengthen your faith, to make your faith, your belief, stronger, but not by telling you it's okay, by telling you you're on the right path, you're doing the right thing, everybody else is wrong. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to strengthen your faith by making your doubts a little bit stronger. I want your doubts to come full. I want you to, because what we do with our doubt is we have it here on the back of our head, kind of on the periphery. It's trying to get in front of us, but we keep turning. And then it comes around this side, and so we turn that way. And it's always there, the doubts. Do you really believe? Do you really know Jesus? Do you really think the Bible is true? And we're like, yeah, I believe, it's true. And we're trying to get away from those doubts. And Jesus is saying, no, you look right at it. And you let the wind come right full in your face. And what you're going to find is it doesn't make you weaker. It makes you stronger in the Lord. And what's the purpose of that? Is it to become a better person, to be a better husband or a better father or mother? Is it to be a better giver or worshiper? No. It's to know Him better. It's to be in the kingdom of God. That's the purpose. Okay, so that's our goal. It's not to make you weaker, but to make you stronger. But I got to break it down a little bit. So Jesus is just a rock star right now, and he's going around thousands of people. Okay, hundreds upon thousands are flocking for the miracles. The teachings are good. Food's not bad. There's enough. And he's entertaining. He's charismatic. He's authoritative. He's fresh. He's new. He's powerful. And there's tons of people. And he's saying, no, you're hypocrites. You're not in the kingdom. You're fake. You're tares. You're weeds. He's just laying it out in this passage in 13 and 14 of Luke. And he's only taking a small group of 12, and he's really pouring into them. And so somebody is looking at this situation and says, Jesus, what's the deal? I mean, there's so many people here. They don't seem to really care about you. There's numbers, but there's no depth. There's breadth, but there's no depth. And so he's wondering, Jesus, is there only going to be just 12? Is it only just going to be a few who are going to be what? Saved? And Jesus, whoo, he just goes right at that question. And he goes, in verse 24, he said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." Make every effort to enter into the broad gate. No, the narrow door. So there it is, the narrow door. I want to just let you know right now, Christian, being a Christian, it's not for everyone. It's for the few. There is there's a highway just up the road here, and you can get on. And if you don't know where you're going, you can go the wrong way very easily, because you pass the toll gate, and you have to make a decision in 5 seconds. Are you going to Iwakuni, or are you going to Okayama? Now, actually, you're not going to Iwakuni, you're not going to Okayama, you're going to Fukuoka, or you're going to Osaka. But it doesn't say Osaka or Fukuoka. It says Iwakuni or Fukuyama or Okayama. So you have to know which way is the right way. And you got to, in 5 seconds, you have to choose. And me and Naomi, we've been there. Where are we going? Which way are we going? And so it could be a holiday, and there's lots of cars coming, and there's pressure behind you, and there's cars are going this way, and this car's going that way. And, most of the cars are going this way. The temptation is to go where everybody else is going. And then there's others behind you. They got their signals. They're going left. Okay. All right. So everybody's going this way. So that's the temptation. And Jesus is saying, you're on a highway. This sign says one thing, and in fact, they're not saying different things. One says heaven, the other says heaven is two. One says the kingdom of God, and the other says the kingdom of God. How do you know which is the right one? It's the narrow one. It's the one hardly anybody else is going on. How you like that? And then he says, how do you know it's the right one? How do you know it's the right one? Let's keep reading. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door!" But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." That's how you know, is if you know him. You have to know the door. You have to know Jesus. So my question to you is very simple. Do you know him? Because in Matthew chapter 7, he's given the Sermon on the Mount. This is the end of the sermon. He says pretty much the same thing here. And he's saying, look, there's so many people listening to my teaching. So many people coming to church for the community and the preaching or the music, whatever it is. There's so many. They don't know me. They do not know me, and I do not know them. In fact, they look like they're good people. They're actually evil. What does he call them? Evildoers, workers of iniquity, evildoers. Ooh, does that scare you? That scares me. I'll be very honest. That doubt just goes right in my face. Do you know Jesus? And so the question is, Chris, do you really love your people to be making them doubt their faith? Yes, I love you so much. I love you so much so that you won't be believing a fake gospel. I don't know if you watch movies that much. I don't watch movies that much. But there is a movie star named Samuel Jackson. You might be familiar with his name, Samuel Jackson. He's African-American. He's been in very big movies like The Godfather, a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies like Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown, and recently The Snakes on a Plane. And he's in Star Wars. kind of a Hollywood star. So, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I had a friend who works in Hollywood at a TV station, and she gets free tickets to Hollywood premieres. And a Hollywood premiere is when it's the first time they show a movie, and the actors or the stars come to the theater to watch the movie. There's a red carpet, there's TV cameras, TV stations, and they're interviewing the movie stars. And my friend said, would you like to come with me to this Hollywood premiere? And I said, okay. So I put on my nicest clothes that a college student had, and we went to Hollywood, we got a parking spot, and we walking, and as we entered Hollywood, the area, you know it's Hollywood because everybody looks so beautiful. The noses are straight and perfect. The skin is just, you know, everything's beautiful. Like, oh, I'm in Hollywood. This is not Earth. And we get to the theater, and there's more beautiful people just getting closer and closer. And there's cameras and the lights, you know. And I walk by LL Cool J. He's talking, and I walk right behind him. I look at the camera, and I say, and I walk by. That's my 1 millisecond of fame on TV. And the movie was called Deep Blue, which is like a Jaws movie. It's a shark movie, and Samuel Jackson was the kind of big star. So we all get into the theater, and everybody's talking, and hey, this is great. We're in Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. Hollywood. And suddenly, hush, somebody has come. And everybody's looking, and everybody's kind of gathering around. Who's there in the middle of it all? Samuel Jackson. And immediately, the coolest man in the entire place. Just cool. All black everything. Just head to toe, black hat, black leather jacket, black jeans on. And he's just so casual, relaxed, you know, hey, what's up? I'm out. Yeah, it's me. I'm the man. Got that big smile on his face, and we're in Hollywood. We're loving it. And we get in our seats, and we got our popcorn, and we got our snacks, and the movie starts. I go, yeah. This was my time with Samuel Jackson. I was in the same room with Samuel Jackson, you know, star of this movie, that movie. Okay, so now, let's say I get on the internet and I look up Samuel Jackson's phone number. I find it, and I find his address, and I go to Hollywood, I go to his house, and I knock on the door. And I say, Samuel, it's me. Do you remember the opening premiere of Deep Blue, the movie? I was there. We were in the same, I was eating with you. We were hanging out. What's Samuel going to say to me? Get away from me. I do not know you. And I said, no. We hung out. I was in the same room with you. We were together. He said, you may have been there. I don't know you. He may have said that in some other colorful language, but he'll get the idea across. Now, just to illustrate. Jesus, I went to church. I grew up listening to teachers, and I got podcasts, and I was commenting on blogs, and I led the worship, and I was in the Bible. I was in the potlucks. Jesus. I had quiet times. I don't know you. Is that scary? Do you know Jesus? That's the question. Do you know him? How do you know if you know him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Because if you know him, you'll love him. Do you want to be with him? Does being in his presence just make you so glad, so restful, so peaceful? Is there something in your heart that hates sin? So you see your sin and you see Jesus and it's just like, oh, sin! I hate this. I want to get away from it. Do you love him? That's a good way to know. Do you have a heart that's broken for those who don't know him? You see your coworker, you see your mom, you see your brother, you're in your family who don't know him, and it's like, oh, and you pray because you know the one who gives life, the resurrection and the life, and all you want is for others to know him too. That's how you know him. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. A broken heart he will not despise. Is your heart broken when you come to meet Jesus? Jesus uses an interesting word here. He says, make every effort to enter the narrow gate. That word effort, the word there in the Greek is agonizomai. That's the word we get for agonize, to have that broken and contrite heart. The image is of Jacob, that night he spends wrestling. That's what it is. It's struggling. Do you know Jesus so intimately that you could grab hold of him in your heart and just wrestle with him? And will he wrestle with you? Do you know Jesus? Let that doubt come. I was there this week. This week I was wrestling with this so much. Do I really know him? And I met with him Friday morning. I met with my Lord Jesus. And it was a sweet hour of prayer. It was, he told me so many things about me. He told me about himself. He told me about my family. He talked to me. He encouraged me. He convicted me. Oh, it was good. And he took those doubts and he blew them away. And I felt stronger. I felt I could really embrace him. This is some spooky stuff, I know. But that's where I feel like Jesus is coming from. And that's what I feel like he's bringing us to. And so some people say, Chris, this is some narrow teaching. This is Christianity, the exclusive religion. Only Christians can go to heaven. Only Christians can be in the true faith. And Jesus says, well, verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south. Yes, it's exclusive. Yes, Jesus says, only those who know me. But it's for everyone. It is for everybody. You see, it could be in other religions, you need the money in order to get into the religion. You need the funding so that your things can be washed away. That's some sort of churches. It could be in other religions, you need to be close to the place. I was on YouTube. I looked at the most popular videos right now. I think it's in Islam. The Mecca is happening. And it just caught my eye. They're walking around that big black square. And basically it's the duty of all Islam. You know, Muslims to if you're able to, you have the resources to come to the place. If you can't be at the place, then you're in trouble, you know. Or just many other things. And Jesus says, no. It's not the place, it's not your possessions, it's not your position, it's the person, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Are you close to the person? And it's not to go to Jerusalem where there's the grave of Jesus, because it's not there. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father of God. That's where you got to go. That's where the kingdom of God is. And so those who are last will be first. The first will be last. We are first. We are the first. That's us. We're the ones with the money, the resources, the wealth. For those of you who are from the States, when you call the States, what's the, you have to punch in the country code to dial in the states. What's the country code for the United States? You're the first. But the gospel is exploding in China, in South America, in Africa, who are the last. God is going to Cambodia. God has an orphanage in Guatemala because the last will be first. So yes, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow door. But it's for everybody. I want to close with this. What is or who is the narrow? I just gave it away. What is the narrow door? In John chapter 10, Jesus is saying, there's a door for the sheep to get in. And I can't remember the verse. I think it's verse 20-something. He just gives it away. He just says, I am the door. I am the door. I am the narrow gate. You come into the kingdom not through my teaching. Please hear me on this. You come into the kingdom not through my teaching. You can love the Bible. You can study the Bible. You can read books on the Bible, read blogs on the Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. That's not the gate. Jesus rebuked some religious people. He said, you come to the scriptures thinking you'll be saved by them, but you didn't find me. Me. Do you know him? Do you know the door? Walk through to find Jesus. He loves you. He's calling you. And not just you. Here's the thing. Most of you will not be here in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You're going to go. I understand that. I accept that. And my hope is that when you go to a new church, when you find a new fellowship, when you become a member of a new community of Christians, it's not the community, it's not the fellowship, it's not the preacher, it's not the music, it's Jesus. It's the door that you see in that church and that you meet with. That's my prayer for our people. And I hope that that word strengthens your faith this day, this week. Amen. Okay, shall we close in some meditation, in some prayer? Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray for, Lord, assurance. Not fake, false, shallow assurance. I pray for deep, strong, genuine assurance that comes after we've been refined by the fires of your word. I pray, God, that by your word, you wash away the things that are not real about our faith, the fake things about our belief, those things that are shallow about our relationship with you, and you make them real, Lord God. Oh, God, I pray that you'd strengthen us so that we would find ourselves able to walk through the narrow door, able to meet you and to know you and to embrace you and love you as we are loved by you. Oh God, get us through that narrow door. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.